You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. They are one of the most dramatic sights in fighting wildfires. Air tankers dropping thousands of gallons of fire retardant, a line of bright red or pink, coating large swaths of communities at risk of burning. But as wildfires grow more destructive, questions have been raised about what's in this line of defense and if it's safe for people and the environment. CAP Radio reporter Greg Michek recently went to the opening of a new fire retardant manufacturing facility at McClellan Park in Sacramento and joins us with more about the company behind this line of defense, as well as the research and lawsuits that have been challenging its use. Greg, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm just curious, how long has this type of fire retardant been around, used to fight wildfires?
Quite a while, well over 60 years. The first version was created by Monsanto in 1963, and it kind of got its trademark red color in the early 70s.
What is the actual goal or intended purpose of using these large fire retardant drops compared to other types of resources in fighting wildfires, like water drops or ground crews?
That was a big learning experience for me in reporting on the article. The retardant drops are not necessarily meant to put out the fires. They're dropped ahead of the fire line, and so they're really meant to kind of corral and stop the fire from spreading further, whereas a water drop is meant to help put out the fire. Firefighters on the ground are there to also create breaks to help it stop spreading, then also put out the fires as well. But the retardant is really there to keep the fire back as much as possible.
To help with containment.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with Dr. Hugh Safford. He's out of UC Davis. He's a fire and vegetation ecologist. And he spoke quite a bit about the role that fire retardant plays in battling wildfires.
The retardant is a really, really important part of the toolbox for fighting fires. Under conditions of low wind, for example, it's very useful. Under conditions of moderate wind, it's moderately useful. And under conditions of very high wind, either you can't get the planes in the air to drop it, or if you do drop it, it's just going to end up all over the whole county.
Yeah, and Dr. Safford really emphasized to me in his discussions that retardant drops are just one tool in wildfire fighting.
People put the fires out. In almost all cases, the retardant helps to corral it and slow its spread of growth and make it a little bit more predictable where you really need to focus resources to put the fire out, which are men and women in trucks and water and on the ground.
Okay, so although a valuable tool overall in the toolbox, it isn't always useful. It depends on the conditions and the circumstances. And as he laid out, people put the fires out almost in all cases. Okay, so you actually went to an opening of a manufacturing facility for this retardant at McClellan in Sacramento. Who's the company behind it?
Foscheck, which is the most common retardant that we see, is made by a company called Perimeter Solutions. They were founded back in 2018. They've gone through quite a few kind of buyouts and name changes and things like that with regards to Foscheck itself. You know, again, as I mentioned, Foscheck was invented by Monsanto many, many years ago, but it got spun off onto its own thing. And so now Perimeter Solutions produces it. They have a number of locations where they make it, and the McClellan one is their first one in Northern California.
How big of a producer is this company?
Pretty large. They weren't able to give me numbers on how much they're making per year, but at the McClellan facility itself, they can make over 360,000 pounds daily. At the opening, I spoke with Jeff Emery. He's the president of Perimeter Fire Solutions Fire Safety Division, and he told me a little bit about what the company feels makes Foscheck so special.
The magic of Foscheck is that when you lay it out in front of a fire, when it coats the vegetation and that's exposed to heat, it actually creates a protective barrier around that vegetation that prevents it from burning, prevents ignition, and prevents dangerous off-gassing that normally comes out of wildfires.
Foscheck is prolific when it comes to firefighting, especially in California in particular. If you're seeing the red material dropping out of an airplane, it's probably going to be Foscheck. They have the market more or less cornered. They're the only fully qualified long-term airdrop fire retardant. That's as stated by the Forest Service. There was one other one that was qualified for a while, but that got disqualified, meaning that it can no longer be used because it was causing corrosion in some of the airplanes. So right now, Perimeter Solutions has the market on it.
It's a little competition.
Mm-hmm.
So what stood out to you about this facility when you went to the grand opening at McClellan?
It was interesting because I expected it to be a large chemical facility with lots of people in safety gear and chemical showers and things like that. But it was just a large aircraft hangar with a big mixing machine that just mixes powders and things like that in the middle. Seemed very clean. It didn't smell like anything really toxic or anything like that. So it seemed clean and new and not alarming or scary in any way. I was a little bit curious. You know, I did look up Perimeter Solutions a little bit to see what kind of safety history they have or if there's any kind of OSHA violations and things like that. But I haven't found any at all.
What stands out to you about McClellan, where this facility is located? Because it's also where CAL FIRE has a headquarters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where a major aspect of CAL FIRE's aviation fleet is based out of. So, you know, in the off season, they bring a lot of their aircraft back there for maintenance and things like that. So McClellan is significant for CAL FIRE. And so having Perimeter Solutions there, producing FOSCHECK there is a big deal. Again, Jeff Emery from Perimeter Solutions spoke on the importance of having McClellan be in their repertoire.
It's very important in our world that we have the opportunity to respond in minutes when a call comes in. We have to have product out the door, shipped to our air bases in a matter of hours, and we have to be ready to load an airplane within minutes of getting that call. Where we look at our biggest levels of activity, California is obviously an important place for us. This gives us Southern California, Northern California, and the ability to ship out of those facilities to the entire country and the entire world.
This also comes as some of the most destructive wildfires have taken place in California within the last 5 to 10 years. How much has the use of this fire retardant grown in that time?
I looked at data going back to 2017 through roughly 2023, which is when CAL FIRE has some data available. And there's been spikes in use. In general, though, retardant is used roughly twice as often as water, although in the last couple of years, that's dropped to half. So meaning that whenever there's a wildfire, for quite a while there, they were dropping twice as much retardant as they were water. But now that's, at least for the last couple of years, transitioned more to water itself. And then the actual amount of retardant dropped per acre of wildfire really varies quite a bit as well.
Okay, so there's been some adjustments. When you reached out to CAL FIRE, did they give you an explanation or better insight into why that could be?
I reached out to CAL FIRE a few times, and they didn't return any emails for comment.
So diving into the ingredients, what's exactly in this fire retardant?
On the surface, it's remarkably simple. It's made out of ammonium phosphate, which is essentially just fertilizer. So you're dropping large amounts of fertilizer from airplanes. The red itself comes from, I guess you can call it rust. It's iron oxide. And then there's a little bit as well, about 15%. Which are known as trade secret performance additives. And those generally are used for corrosion reduction, at least that's the thought. But when you look at the government's material safety data sheets on it, that 15% roughly is hidden.
Okay, so it's hidden, a percentage is a trade secret additive. How did you come to better understand what's in it?
So back in 2014, there was a study that showed where they tested two variants, and they actually found that FOSCHECK itself was potentially toxic to salmon, specifically Chinook salmon. They found that even when it was diluted at levels much greater than what's needed from the manufacturer, it would kill the fish, if not immediately, typically within weeks, they would be dead at that point.
And who did that study?
That was done by NOAA. Now, more recently, there was a study out of USC where they were able to get samples of FOSCHECK itself, and they found what they considered high amounts of heavy metals, including cadmium, chromium, and vanadium, in concentrations that were much greater than what's allowed in drinking water.
Okay. So beyond these two studies, one more than a decade ago, and then a recent one out of USC, is there broader criticism about the use of FOSCHECK?
There is, and it's almost entirely environmental. I spoke with someone named Andy Stahl. He's the executive director of an organization called Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics. And they've filed a number of lawsuits about the use of FOSCHECK, and they want it really stopped completely. Their contention is that it's poisonous for the environment, and they also contend that it's not necessarily very effective because, again, it's not effective all the time. You know, it has specific use cases. So their concern is that when it's dropped into the natural environment, particularly near water, it causes damage that, in their eyes, is not worth the benefits.
What did the company say in response to this lawsuit and this criticism?
Well, I'll bring in Jeff Emery again, because he did respond directly to the USC study.
They're looking at fire retardant and comparing it to an EPA drinking water standard. And certainly this isn't something that is going to be ingested on any kind of frequent basis. Its exposure to humans and wildlife is extremely minimal. This is the most tested product environmentally of any fire chemical that has been introduced to the market. We've gone through extensive environmental impact statements through U.S. Fish and Wildlife that amount to hundreds and hundreds of pages, studying thousands of vegetative species, mammalian and aquatic species, to ensure that it's safe for use.
Emery added that they're constantly looking to make the different formulations of PhosCheck safer. In fact, over the decades, there have been several different variants of PhosCheck, so it's not all just the same thing as time goes on. But what he really emphasized is the destructive nature of wildfires themselves, and that, you know, wildfires destroy ecosystems and they cause tons of destruction. And so while there may be concerns with PhosCheck itself, the benefit outweighed any potential issues with it.
Yeah. What do government agencies have to say about this? Because the Forest Service and CAL FIRE are big customers.
I reached out to a number of them. I reached out to CAL FIRE, of course, and the U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the National Marine Fisheries Service as well. None of them responded with comment. The last three of those are actually being sued by the Forest Service employees for environmental ethics. And the only response that I've been able to find from them was in response to the lawsuit where they deny all the claims. Hmm.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio's Greg Micek about the growing use of fire retardant in airdrops in response to wildfires and growing questions about its safety for people and the environment. At the heart of all of this are wildfire survivors. These drops can coat their communities at times, including their property and waterways. What did you learn from them?
I spoke with a woman named Terry Rubulio, who lives up in Northern California. She survived both wildfires in 2008 and then also the 2018 campfire. And it was interesting because she was very more middle of the road than I thought she would be. She was neither dead set against it or thought that it should be used constantly. Here's Terry talking about her experience with it.
In the 08 fire, which I went through also, we lost all the fish and the turtles then too. And I know they didn't drop retardant on my creek, but they did up above on waterways. And there's not a lot of difference between the damage to the wildlife from the fire or from retardant. It just takes time for things to recover.
So I'll bring Professor Safford in again. Remember, he's a fire and vegetation ecologist over at UC Davis. And he responded to Terry's observation.
The immediate impacts may look similar, but if you're depositing huge amounts of phosphorus in the stream plus some heavy metals, could have really long duration impacts in that stream, whereas streams are actually really resilient to burning. You know, the negative impacts of fire on aquatic resources, if you read the literature, they're ephemeral generally. You know what I mean? They tend not to be permanent.
So I guess how do you sum up this argument and what Dr. Safford said? I mean, in the use of this fire retardant, it's obviously a useful tool in some cases for wildfires. I guess, how does he square that with the environmental and potentially risks that are posed to not only the environment, but people?
Professor Safford was very much of the contention that, you know, if it's not being used unnecessarily, if it's not being used for headlines or for a great photo op or just to make a politician happy that, hey, we're doing something, because when you see, you know, C-130 dropping tons of fire retardant somewhere, you can think, oh, well, something's happening. Whereas if you know that there's some wildfires down there in the trenches trying to stop the fire by hand, you don't necessarily see that. So, you know, his contention is that, yeah, hey, fires are deadly, dangerous. They destroy a lot of things and they cost a lot of money and they cost lives. And provided you're using it in a responsible way, his main concern really came down to that 15% of industry secret chemicals.
Mm. And making it more public?
Mm-hmm, 100%. He really advocates for making sure that everyone knows exactly what's in it so that they can make their decisions themselves.
What's the future of its use look like?
Right now, it looks like it's going to be used much more in the future. Earlier this year, President Trump signed an executive order encouraging its use and reducing regulatory barriers. Because right now, in order for it to be used near a water source, you actually have to get a Clean Water Act permit to be able to use it. So that's a huge barrier for, you know, Cal Fire and things like that to use it. And that's something that President Trump's looking to kind of tear down. In addition to that, in May of this year, so just a couple months ago, a new law was proposed. It's called the Forest Protection and Wildland Firefighter Safety Act of 2025, and it would exempt retardant drops from Clean Water Act permits if it's listed on the Forest Service Qualified Products list.
Okay, so this law would basically remove what could be a logistical barrier by exempting Cal Fire, for example, or the Forest Service from filing for a Clean Water Act permit, what they currently have to do if they want to drop this fire retardant near a water source.
Right. And that right now appears to have bipartisan support. So that's something that I know when I spoke with the environmental group behind the lawsuit, they're concerned. That's a big one that they're really trying to stop. You know, their idea is that if you make it too easy, that it's just going to be dropped nonstop. So they're trying to put up those, I wouldn't call them barriers, but requirements.
Where does that bill stand now?
It was just introduced, so nothing's happened much, but it does have sponsors from both the Republican and Democratic side.
And this is federal, right?
Yes.
In the meantime, if your property has this retardant on it, you come home and you see it, are there steps that you can take to remove or reduce any potential risk?
The official instructions are to hose it down, not using high pressure water, or to just let it run its course and that it'll eventually go away. In speaking with some wildfire survivors, though, they said that it can really get caked on there. And once it gets dried on there, it can stay on for quite a while. I spoke with Daniel McCurry. He was the researcher behind the USC study that found the heavy metals in PhosCheck. And I asked him, you know, would people be in danger if it was on their property? And this is what he had to say.
I would say if you're going to grow like food crops on ground that was affected by it, I might at least get a heavy metals test done on the soil. You know, if you're just going to plant grass or native plants or something like that, it's probably fine. If I was going to grow tomatoes or something in dirt that was red, I'd probably do a test.
Finally, Greg, what do you hope people take away from your reporting?
In the end, the biggest thing is that it's not a black and white issue. Like many things in life, it's somewhere there in the middle. It's just a tool for fighting wildfires, and just stay informed and stay safe.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
And that is Cap Radio's Greg Micek sharing his reporting about the use of fire retardant in airdrops in response to wildfires and the questions surrounding its safety for people and the environment. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.